tune in to the presence of God in you and all around you. Feeling that lovely, soothing, safe place, your shelter in any storm. This light that shines within you no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what is happening to you or through you. This abiding presence that guides you gently forward to an ever higher expression of who you truly are and all you are meant to be. Today we look beyond any concerns about personality or a false sense of self and really tune in to the truth of our being, to the truth in knowing that we are spiritual beings, having a human experience. And as we relax into that beautiful spirit, we are guided, we are loved, we are safe, we are spiritually fed. So we bless this time together, every soul here present and all those to whom we are connected, sending God's love out into the world through us, blessing each and every unique expression of God, and rejoicing in all of it. For these many blessings, we are so deeply grateful. And so it is. Amen. Every possible word that could rhyme with God. The gift of imperfection. Actually, there are many gifts that come from imperfection, and one of them is humor. So who among us has not truly enjoyed the outtakes and bloopers at the end of a movie when they show all the scenes that didn't make it in there? And how often do we just break out laughing when we see a mistake in a road sign or on a menu? And who could resist the often unintentional, inadvertently hilarious faux pas that happen, yes, in church? So here are a few statements that have actually been shared in church bulletins or in church announcements. Bertha Belch, a missionary from Africa, will be speaking tonight at Calvary Methodist. Come here, Bertha Belch, all the way from Africa. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Don't forget your husbands. Miss Charlene Mason saying, I will not pass this way again, giving obvious pleasure to the congregation. The Low Self-Esteem Support Group will meet Thursday at 7 p.m. Please use the back door. Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church. Please use the large double door at the side entrance. And my favorite, the sermon this morning will be Jesus Walks on the Water. The sermon tonight, Searching for Jesus. And yes, I have heard, in case you're wondering, about the time when right here at Unity Renaissance, when a platform host who shall go unnamed meant to tell everyone to turn their cell phones to vibrate, but instead told everyone to turn off their vibrators. Well, it's funny when it happens to other people, isn't it? So we can laugh at mistakes that others make, and sometimes we can laugh at our own mistakes and oversights. But if it's something a little more significant, if we feel that we've fallen short in some important way, yeah, that's not so funny. And in fact, we may begin to criticize ourselves and second-guess ourselves, begin that negative self-talk. Oh, it may start out with, oh, why did I say that? I can't believe I said that. How could I have done such a thing? But if it continues on, it can start to feel like not just that we made a mistake, but that we are a mistake. And we begin to have that unpleasant feeling that we can't do anything right, that there's something wrong with us, that we're not enough or we're not good enough. And last week, Our wonderful Eddie Oliver did a fabulous, beautiful, eloquent job of talking about that very thing through his own life experience, learning that we truly are enough. You know, we've experienced the same phenomenon of hearing about not being enough and having that something that really an amazing number of people relate to. You know, you think you're the only one that feels that way, but everyone has that little self-critic going off in their head. And I realized this at our Enneagram class on Monday night a couple of weeks ago. As you know, Tom Baker and I are teaching the Enneagram on Monday nights, and by the way, we will have class tomorrow evening. And the Enneagram is based on ancient Sufi wisdom. It's about 9 personality types. And so each week we talk about a different personality type. And the first week, and by the way, 90 brave souls have been coming to this. It's pretty darn amazing. Isn't it amazing? We're so blessed. People who are willing to delve deeper into the false beliefs and attitudes and patterns in their lives in order to break through to who they truly are as a child of God. So the first week we talked about personality type 1, which is the perfectionist. Now, a perfectionist has the core belief that to be loved, I must be perfect. Well, you could tell as we talked more and more about the perfectionist feeling like they have to do everything right, they have to look just right, they have to say everything right, holding themselves to that very high standard. It was like a wave kind of washed over the group. And you could tell everyone was thinking, oh, I think that might be me. Well, in fact, it isn't. We're not all perfectionists. But we do tend to have these tapes going through our head. And one of the reasons that we know this is because of the things we tell ourselves. We say things to ourselves like, I will be worthy or good enough when I lose 20 pounds. If I get or stay sober. When I get my degree. If and when I find the right partner. If I can hold my marriage together. If my children are happy. When I get a raise or a promotion. When I have enough money to retire, and when I can do it all and look like I'm not even trying. We're pretty hard on ourselves, aren't we? Yeah, these really high standards of I'm almost good enough, but I'm like not quite there. I had a friend in Kansas City, her name is Jenny. She's an amazingly talented graphic designer, super creative, does beautiful, beautiful work, which you've seen in a lot of Unity publications, actually. And at one point, she decided to leave Unity Village and spring off on her own and start her own freelance graphic design business. Well, she told me that as soon as she did that, all the questioning voices came up in her. She was just riddled with self-doubt. She was trying to be creative and artistic, but she kept hearing this judgmental voice over and over, questioning whether she had it, whether she was good enough, etc. And finally she said, this is pretty audacious, she said, finally she just yelled out loud, shut the heck up, or something very similar. Shut the heck up. Have you ever felt like saying that to your inner critic? Well, yeah, heck yeah. I felt like saying that to my inner critic, too. So this may come as a tremendous surprise to you, but yes, I do have a very active inner critic. I do have that voice in me that's second-guessing and wondering if I'm okay, if I'm doing all right. And I know that when I came here, in fact, last night I was thinking, how can I perfectly deliver a talk on imperfection? Kind of ironic, isn't it? But I remember that when I came here, and I guess still it's in my heart, I just want so much to be your perfect minister. You know, I really want to be there for you and give you what you want and respond quickly and say the right thing and be there at the right time and empower you to grow and all these great things. Give a great talk on Sunday and look good doing it. Well, I realized lately that I have a little ways to go in accepting my own imperfections And this is what happened. So Christopher Naughton, who is our board vice president, you may remember that last April we had film crews in here and we were filming the service to start getting ready for live streaming and some other things. So anyway, finally Christopher sent this link. And he said, here's the link to the video. Just click on this and you can see the whole service. And if you want to, you can fast forward to minute 19 to see your talk. I put that off for 2 weeks. Like, I don't think I want to see that. I don't know if I want to see that. I had this dread of how I look, how I sound, how I come across. And part of me was thinking, what if I hate it? What if I really don't like the way I'm coming across? How am I going to get up and talk in front of them again? And part of me thought, well, they have to look at me. Why do I have to look at me? Isn't that good enough? Anyway, last week I finally clicked on the link and I watched the video. And it really wasn't so bad. You know, it was really good. It was okay. I had two, I still have more work to do, but I had two big insights from that experience. And the first was that I really, really should wear lipstick. Not the kind that's the same color as my lips. Something a little different, so I'm going to work on that. And the other thing was that I really noticed that as I stopped trying so hard and I just relaxed and became myself, that I was really at my best. And it wasn't when I was straining to be perfect, but when I was willing to be imperfect and put myself out there. And the same is true for all of you. You know, when we go about life with these high standards and goals and we're pushing and we're straining, it's like a constriction that cuts off the flow of God through us. And that flow is always waiting for an opening to come forth. So we can learn that even regardless of what imperfections we think are showing up out here, that the perfect presence of God in us is shining through it. Shining through it. Don't you feel that? I feel that in this sanctuary every single Sunday. I feel it from the love you sent up here and from the love I send out to you. You see this shining through whatever outer appearance is going on. It's a beautiful, perfect, perfect thing. You know, the fact is we are all works in progress. We are all evolving. We're learning as we go. And we can even say to ourselves, as we sometimes say when we forgive our parents, I did the best I could with what I knew at the time. I did the best I could at the level of consciousness that I was at, knowing that that's preparing me for the next level. And I keep moving on. You know, I love this analogy. Would you ever fault a 2-month-old baby for not being able to talk? Would you ever fault a 2-year-old child for not being able to read? Well, of course not. They're at exactly the stage of development where they are, where they're supposed to be, expressing that perfectly as they prepare for the next level. And it's all perfect in its unfolding. Do you see? Eric Butterworth, in his great book, Discover the Power Within You, says that life is a great and continuous process of growth. We move from classroom to classroom. Isn't that cool? We move from classroom to classroom. So why would we get ourselves stuck with what's happening in one classroom, agonizing over what happened there, when it's time to move to a new one? So here's another way of looking at it. This is my prop today. This lovely little sprig of lilies. Now, some of the lilies are fully opened, and some are still buds, right? Now, if I ask you which are the most beautiful parts of this stem, well, you might say, well, these are the most beautiful because they're the most open. But if I ask you which is the most perfect, Well, they're all perfect. They're all perfect. Even this one and this one that haven't yet opened, they have the seed of God's perfection in them, just waiting to come forth, waiting to blossom. In a few days, these may fall off. This may be fully open, but it doesn't matter because the perfection is in the process. It's in the unfolding of the beauty from within. Jesus taught us that this is really what our life's purpose is about. He called it the divinity of man, or humankind, that we're here to step ever more fully into an experience and an expression of God. That we are to know this as who we are, and keep opening those channels for more of that light and truth to shine through us. That we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And I love what Eric Butterworth says about this. He says, "You may say, but I'm only human. This is the understatement of your life. You are not only human, you are also divine in potential. The fulfillment of all your goals and aspirations in life depends upon stirring up and releasing more of that divine potential." And how does it get stirred up? It gets stirred up as we make our choices, as we recognize our mistakes or what seem to be mistakes, and we have a greater longing for God. You know, Jesus even said, you shall therefore be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, I don't know about you. When I hear that, I think, wow, I'm supposed to be as perfect as God? I mean, it can really churn up that sort of perfectionist stuff in you. But he wasn't saying that we are to do everything perfect. What he was saying is that we are to learn how to love perfectly. Love perfectly. So let's look at it in context. It comes from Matthew 5, 43, 48. "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy,' but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." What he is saying is that we are to love impartially, or as Bishop Spong says, we are to love wastefully, generously, fully, to those who we can see the divine in them, regardless of what is appearing on the outside, even those we might be projecting as an enemy in our lives. You know, I hadn't thought about this till I started working on the talk, but we usually think about that as loving the external enemy, right? Somebody in your life that's you're having friction with. But it can also mean loving the internal enemy. It can also mean loving those parts inside of you that you feel embarrassed or ashamed about or you want to hide, or the darkness. To love like God is to love it all. Love it all. It's you coming into expression. Well, how do we do this? How do we learn to love those parts of us we're not so, fond of? How do we learn to love ourselves impartially? We do it through self-compassion. Self-compassion. You know, for most of the time I was growing up, the big buzzword in personal development was self-esteem. Everybody needs to lift themselves up in self-esteem. But there's a book out called Self-Compassion by Kristen Neff, and she says, the key really is self-compassion. When you're looking at self-esteem, you're trying to sort of force yourself in a way to feel better about who you are. But invariably, we make mistakes. We all do. So self-compassion is what we need to be able to forgive ourselves, to love ourselves. And she uses this definition of self-compassion, being warm and understanding toward ourselves when we suffer, fail, or feel inadequate, rather than ignoring our pain or flagellating ourselves with self-criticism. Have you ever just wanted to be your own best friend? Man, just treat yourself as well as you would treat a friend. She has a great website, by the way, and that's the URL. If you're like me and you like to take these little tests, you can take a test about how self-compassionate you are, and there are meditations and exercises on how to cultivate greater self-compassion. As we begin to love ourselves and love the process that is unfolding through us and love our unique way of expressing God, we realize that we are not precious and beautiful in spite of our imperfections, but because of them. They are the journey of our lives. They are what we grow through in our fuller expression of God. It's a wonderful analogy of this comes from Japan. There's a Japanese, some of you may have heard of it, a Japanese traditional art form. It's called kintsugi. Anybody heard of it? Okay, kintsugi. So basically back in the 15th century, the artisans began taking broken pottery, broken plates and bowls and so forth, and repairing it. And they repaired it with a gold-enriched resin so that then when the bowl was put back together, it had these threads of gold going through it. There are some examples. The word kintsugi means golden joinery. And what is so beautiful about this and why it's such a great analogy is that they were not looking to hide the imperfections. They were not looking to cover them over, but rather they were accentuating them. It's almost like when you have a scar on your body and you think, yeah, I earned that. That tells a story of something that happened in my life. Or a scar in your own heart. Yeah, I came through that. So the fullness of the Japanese bowls is in celebrating the journey that we're on and all the ups and downs and all the mistakes, seeming mistakes and imperfections along the way. There's even a beautiful song about this by Peter Mayer called Japanese Bowl. He says, I'm like one of those Japanese bowls. I have some cracks in me. I have some hurt places in me. But now they're filled with gold. And in the collector's eyes, I'm all the more valuable and precious because of them. Not in spite of them, but because of them. Each of you is like one of these perfect expressions of God's art. With whatever is going on, whatever imperfection is showing up, seeming imperfection, I encourage you to know that it's all beautiful and all perfect. Whatever you're going through, it's leading you into the fullness of your truth. There's a great line, see if I can remember it, from Leonard Cohen in the word Anthem. Something like, everything has a crack in it. That's how the light gets in. That's how the light gets in. Bless you all for your shining perfection. Let's move now into meditation. I invite you to take a moment to just take a deep breath in. Get comfortable in your seat. Let's just take a deep breath and then release it out, letting go, letting go, letting go, letting go of any worry, any mixed emotions, any anxiety, any sadness, anything that is weighing on our hearts today. We let go and we let God. We let go into this beautiful presence of love. Like falling into the everlasting arms, feeling that great sense of comfort. Whatever may rain down on us in our lives, there is a light. There is a light in us. There is a light guiding us. We have our twists and turns, our faux pas, our mistakes, our shortcomings. Will we see through all of that to that divine brightness at the core of our being, the truth of who we are. We know that we are unfolding at exactly the right time and exactly the right way, step by step. Just like the flower blooming, the child growing, the student moving from classroom to classroom. I invite you now to breathe into your heart space, that deep place of peace within you. Enjoy a great sense that all is truly well. You are loved, you are supported, you are safe. You are being guided. I invite you now to open yourself to the presence and the voice of Spirit in you in the silence. That's God's reign on God's earth. On this, God's church, filled with all these beautiful expressions of God. It's all God and it's all good. May we open our hearts in self-compassion to be our own best friends, to love the journey that we're on and to regard the perfection of it, regardless of any temporary appearances. All is well. And for this amazing unfolding of Spirit in our lives and the joy of sharing it in community, we are so grateful, profoundly grateful. And so it is. Amen.